Hey everybody, and welcome back to another half-episode of Random Chatterings. I'm Arlo Rodriguez, and with me in the Lorenz Kim recording studio is...
Lorenz Kim recording studio? Lorenz Kim.
Sorry, I'm borrowing from Video Game Apocalypse. Shout out to my boys over at Video Game Apocalypse. sorry, Lorenz, I didn't mean to throw you off there. Yeah. And this is the finale of month of King of the Hill. We are going to be talking about 5 episodes of King of the Hill in the month of September, and our grand finale is Season 9, Episode 5's Dale to the Chief, written by Garland Testa and directed by Anthony Leoy. It's interesting to have an episode kind of discuss kind of like the invasive nature of the government in like 2005. And let's for context, this was right after 9/11. Well, not right after 9/11, but like these are like kind of some of the effects.
Around
9/11, yeah. Just the integration about like security and that kind of thing. And that's a very heavy topic that's kind of painted a little bit in this episode. But it starts off again. We've been talking about this. It's kind of a theme in this miniseries is that Hank is and the guys are very boring, have very boring lifestyles, but they find a way of finding joy in their boringness. And it's like Hank and the guys are talking about his new license, and they're so excited about his new license.
But then when he gets said license,
6F, that's female. Look at that, Peggy, right over the Texas state seal.
It's not that big of a deal, honey. Just ignore it. Nobody even checks IDs anymore.
But what if I died in some car accident and because of my license, they put me in the ladies' morgue? You can bet that'd wind up on the news.
It just lets Hank sit there, but also it's worth mentioning that in the conversation before the mail carrier gives Hank the mail, that Dale's talking about one of his conspiracies, and this is, I didn't even write it down, it's that fucking crazy. And Hank just says, do you really intend for those words, or do they just come out randomly from your mouth? And it just really feels like...
Yeah, I always just find myself just tuning out when Dale just gets into his conspiracy theories, because I'm 99.9% sure that Dale is just crazy.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a way of putting it, and, you know, nowadays with certain types of websites like InfoWars and Breitbart, you would have people that genuinely believe in the bullshit that's being spread out there. This was at a time when conspiracy theorists were kind of saying like, oh, that's really funny, they think believe in aliens. And it's like a more innocent time before conspiracy theories literally led to someone fucking shooting up a DC pizza parlor because they thought that Democrats had a pedophile ring in there.
I would not be surprised if Dale said that he believes very firmly that the earth was flat. I would not be surprised at all, and I'd be just like, well, yeah, that's typical Dale.
Yeah, but there's another important aspect about his conspiracies. They all revolve around the U.S. government. It's very clear throughout the series that he does not have a confidence in the United States government.
Yeah, like kind of like the government is sort of out to get all of us, and they just do it through all these covert espionage-like ways.
Yeah, like very elaborate schemes, but like I think in the example I remember something about it, it's like part of it was like then they'll like harvest the organs of people and to put it back on the other pizzas to get the cycle started. It's like it's such a ridiculous, insane thing. But something that I really nowadays find so wonderful about Dale's distrust in the government is that, well, you know what, the government isn't so fucking great. I'm not gonna say I'm an anarchist. I will say I'm a socialist. And there's a lot of shit that the government gets away with, a lot of unfair things that they do, that, fuck yeah, I'll believe in the conspiracy theory that makes me believe, because some of it's fucking true. We talked about the Beast in episode 2 of our miniseries, about a program conspiracy collecting all of our information, and that actually fucking happened, so why wouldn't the government be harvesting bodies to use on pizzas? I'm kidding, obviously.
What is just cuffs and collars?
That's gonna be a running joke. So he cuts to Dale. We get a little bit of now, because Dale isn't important. He's in the friggin' title of the episode. So Joseph, his son, can't sleep, and it's worth mentioning at this point there's been some continuity changes between this season three, well, season seven we already talked about, but so Joseph has gone through puberty and now he's taller and more muscular than he was in earlier seasons.
Yeah.
So he's also voiced by a different voice actor, Brecken Meyer. I'll have a little bit more to say about voice actors. I do want to give them props, but we just forgot to mention them because we're mostly talking about characters. So it used to be Brittany Murphy doing the voice of Joseph pre-puberty, but then when his voice got deeper, they had to get someone else. And his voice is actually really funny. But Joseph's having trouble. It's so funny because he's acting like a 10-year-old in this scene, even though it's like you can see the shape of his muscles under the covers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I can't sleep. And then Dale kicks in the door with two fucking guns like it's a Dirty Harry movie. And Joseph doesn't even react to the guns. It's like, oh, he's done this before.
Yeah, every week this happens. Wonder what it must be like to grow up with Dale as your dad. I just can't even imagine, you know?
Yeah, and so then Dale figures, I'm going to tell you a fairy tale story about grassy knolls and magic bullets. And he basically reads the Warren Commission of the JFK assassination. And he's reading the story, and then Joseph, I think there's something about...
Joseph falls asleep.
He doesn't fall asleep, actually.
He doesn't?
No, there's like something, he's a question about something, and they have the Dealey Plaza. I think he doesn't remember what the Dealey Plaza is or where it is exactly.
Oh.
So they have to pull out the appendix, which is, they're using it to balance the kitchen table, and then there's a great subtle joke of like him taking off the kitchen table, then they sit on the table, and then it like slides down slightly. It's like the kind of thing you don't really notice on your first viewing. But then Dale looks at the information about all the graphs, and he kind of looks at what exactly happened on the day of the JFK assassination. For those who don't know, President JFK was assassinated November 22nd, 1963. And it's like one of the most famous, it's the most famous conspiracy theory. Maybe
oh, yeah.
Second only to jet fuels can't melt steel beams. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. But so Dale's going over the information about the JFK assassin, and then he notices that the motorcade is going west, but he's always thought it's going east.
So, heading west, the grassy knoll is in front of Kennedy. The book depository is behind him. But that makes sense. It can't make sense. It's the Warren Commission report, for God's sake. But that means the government could be right.
And then he goes back into his room, just leaving his son there just eating milk and cookies. And Dale's just kind of, there's a bunch of pictures of some of the conspiracy theories that he believes in, and
yeah.
Just like the room kind of rotates and the camera kind of spins around him.
Oh my god, yeah, that is definitely like a well done shot right there.
Yeah,
it's
just
like
just
his world literally turning upside down.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it cuts to daytime, and the guys are kind of talking about it, and we see Dale like removing the giant model that he had of the Dealey Plaza. And he's throwing it in the garbage, and the guys are just watching him. Like, Dale's in his underwear, like, with no shame. He's like, who cares? I'm just in my underwear. I don't care. And he slips on the limo, and it's kind of funny, but then Hank says, no, it's not really funny. Like, Nancy says he's really serious about this JFK thing. Then Hank's telling them, maybe we can try to convince him to snap out of it. Maybe tell him to put on some pants.
But at the same time, they're not really taking it that seriously. They just think it's just Dale being Dale.
Yeah, and it's like, the Hank kind of does say, oh, I'm sorry about this conspiracy thing. I know that assassination thing meant a lot to you.
That assassination meant a lot to you.
I mean, that kind of what he says. And then they're just trying to find ways to cheer him up. It's like, let's think of a different conspiracy, like aliens. And then Hank's, oh, that's so funny. Hank's saying, yeah, why don't you tell us about how the aliens are gonna do things? And then rightfully Dale says, don't patronize me. I gotta go to Dallas and I gotta figure all this out. So Dale's actually gonna go to Dallas at Dealey Plaza and figure out, like, does this make any sense? Can this really
be
happening?
But then over at the plaza, we see other people who have their just own crazy conspiracy theories.
Yeah, exactly. And
Dale is just like, I'm just not having any of this.
Yeah, one of them.
Pretty much.
One of them, because like I remember this moron's pronunciation of Pollo Loco. It says Pollo Loco. He's saying that JFK actually like hid, like went through a trapdoor under his limo, snuck into Mexico, and then somehow is like the founder of the Pollo Loco franchise.
Wow.
But he says like Pollo Loco franchise. It's like, do Americans really say Pollo Loco? Like, do they not realize it's like, no. It's like the LL, the double L is like a Y pronunciation? Is that, I'm Hispanic.
It's like Napoleon Dynamite's mom saying, go make yourself a dang quesadilla.
Actually, that makes a lot of sense. So Dale's
like
just,
that's just like more of a comical thing more than anything.
No, that's absolutely true. But so like Dale's like shaking as though like he's like a homeless person. Even like there's a cop that comes behind him in a bit of a silhouette, just to kind of seem a little intimidating, but he's just grabbing these brochures and it's like, I don't know. I mean, I thought I knew, but I don't. And police officer says, let's see if we can go get you like a soup or something, or just get you all ready, because he really does think he's homeless. And then Dale says, you do that for me? And then the officer says, I'm just doing my job, sir. And that's when we see the flag pin sparkle a little bit.
And lo and behold, Dale becomes a patriot.
Yep, he's in full U.S. American flag regalia, drives in, he has the mini flags on the, okay, so he has this van called the Dale's Dead Bug, and there's a queen ant that's upside down. He has mini flags on the legs of the queen ant.
Greetings, my fellow Americans.
You know, you got the flags flying right side up there, Dale.
Yep. Hey, did you guys know that there's a star for each state? Brilliant! You're a grand old flag, you're a something-something flag, and forever in peace may you wave. You're the emblem, blah, the one, blah, blah.
He even goes to the lengths of going on top of not his own house, but Hank's house, and painting just a giant American flag on it.
And this is at a point when Hank has been he's been told to go to the post office because he has to get, well, first he goes to the DMV, and then they tell him to go to the post office, and then goes to the post office, and he tells him to go to the DPS, and he keeps being sent back to different places, basically on a goose chase of just like, you have to go to your doctor to get proof of your gender. You have to go here to submit a bunch of forms and applications, and we'll get to it. And it's kind of showing just how bullshit the bureaucracy of the government is. Like, it's just putting like making it so difficult to make things happen. And then it's much wrenching. There's one character at the DMV that is kind of, he's like the character that Hank has butts heads with a little bit. And Hank kind of says says something a little threatening. But then the guy says, "Are you making a threat?" And then Hank says, oh, no, I'm not making a threat.
Hank backs off.
Backs off a little bit. And then, but the guy kind of, which I mean, you know what? You work at the DMV. You're given things to say. There's a certain way of doing things. I totally get it. But I also kind of think that they kind of portray him as a bit of a snob. And it's like, okay, then back off. And it's just like, but I also, he probably deals with a lot of people who are just as angry, angrier than Hank even. So I'm sure he's just kind of also maybe a little jaded about the whole thing. It's like, this is just what I have to do. You don't want to listen.
It's the DMV, you know? Not exactly the happiest place on earth.
No, exactly. There's a different scene with, I think it's at DPS, but it's like he's told that he has to fill out this paperwork. And then the person at the desk says, now please move aside, madam. It's like, and Hank says, madam? I can't be sued if I call you what's on the card. He does say at one point, I've never felt so, like, I don't know, invaded, violated. He says the word violated in my life. And that's something that, there's some cases about trans people at the DMV that they're kind of also screened in that same kind of way. They say the same thing. So, again, this is 2005. To have that perspective from, like, having, like, not, like, sympathizing with Hank, but kind of, like, his overreaction to this situation. And not, like, in terms of the trans people, but in terms of Hank overreacting. It's like, it's just, like, a wrong letter on your license. It's fixable. But he's, like I said, he's so set on his principles. Like, I'm a man, and I know I'm a man, and I'm a man. Not a man's man, but, like, I know I'm a man, and it's, like,
he kind of has to constantly tell other people that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, like, he's not really understanding, like, well, it's not just, there's, like, gender binary kind of thing about it that it's always has been, like, the heteronormative society that we live in. It's, like, man or woman. Now it's much more complicated than that, and there's even a little bit of discussion in that in this episode.
Thanks for seeing me, Doctor. My regular physician couldn't squeeze me in. I got this form from the DPS. I just need you to say that I'm a man.
Whoa, I'm not signing a paper that just says anything. Those days went out with house calls.
But I'm clearly a man.
Look, I am willing to do a blood test and a genetic screening. That is proof positive and not actionable.
Can't you just do a, you know, visual exam?
Gender is not as cut and dried as it used to be, Mr. Hill. Even if you have male organs, there's transsexual hormone therapy, plastic surgery.
Can't you tell the difference between the ones made by God and the ones jerry-rigged out of a toe and some old skin?
Legally, no.
Again, this is 2005 when this episode
came
out.
Yeah, it's a little ahead of its time in that sense. Yeah.
But so Dale is so annoyingly patriotic that he thinks it'll inject some patriotism to actually paint the freaking flag on Hank's roof, and he is not having it.
I'm not messing around. I have proven I could kick your ass while standing on a ladder.
Hank, I didn't see you as a flag hater.
I'm not. You painted my entire goddang roof.
With the symbol of our amazing government.
Yeah, well, I don't want to talk about the government right now. I am so goddang tired of all the bureaucracy and red tape.
Uh-huh. I hear what you're saying. I got some paint remover at the house. I'll just...
And he just runs off. And he makes a call to the fucking FBI.
Yeah, Dale... This is another example of just Dale screwing Hank over.
Yeah, and like this scene, like even Nancy eventually calls him out on this, but like this is like a level below. Like maybe there's no real way of justifying this. Like this is Dale just being really nasty. Like calling the FBI on Hank.
Yeah, that's just another example of just him not really having any empathy.
No, not really. And it's just like, you see, he, I think the way he sees it, it's like it's patriotic duty because, like, he tells the person on the phone, my neighbor is debasing American property. And he's in the process of altering his identity.
Oh my God.
And so.
Just twist.
And so Dale is kind of like eagerly anticipating the government, like coming to get into that Apache helicopter, and like rushing in to kidnap Hank or like to question Hank, but it turns out it's just one guy in a green coupe, a tiny little green car.
Something like that. Yeah, just like one guy who works for the FBI, and he's like, okay, so I've been told that... what exactly was it that he said?
Something like, we kind of, well, basically tells Hank, you think I'm a... And Hank says, you think I'm a threat to America? we researched some information from a certain source that you might be... planning something, and then Hank says, no, I would never do anything like that. And then Hank kind of says, who told you I would? And then the guy just kind of puts on sunglasses, I can't really say.
I can't say. But I can only say maybe.
And Dale, again, I don't know what he's thinking. He has binoculars right near the opening, like the sliding door of Hank's house, and he's watching all of this, and ooh, Hank charges for him, and that's... Hank's had enough, and he tells him, yeah. No, in all the years that you've been, like, your crazy self, you have never done anything like this to me. As of today, we are no longer friends.
I mean, anger management classes, man, they're not paying off.
So Hank and Dale are no longer friends, and Dale is very adamant about, like, I'm going to make Hank break. And he touches a part of Hank's personality that is untouchable. He somehow convinces them to nominate Hank as Texas Propane Woman of the Year. And Hank literally says, that tears it. They've pushed me too far. And Hank is going to, and Hank says, and Dale's monitoring the conversation in the kitchen table somehow. I mean, he has his ways. He's a conspiracy theorist after all.
Right.
He says, I don't care if I have to go over that goddamn computer and change it myself. And this is that uncomfortable joke that I'm going to mention again. This is a little hateful. Dale's kind of saying,
this is what I've been biting for. An outburst in a government institution. Octavio, Plan F, Arlen DPS.
What are you doing, Shug?
I'm sending the police to respond to a disturbance at the DPS, and everyone will see Hank Hill for what he truly is. An America-hating he-she.
That's one of the few jokes that definitely don't hold up.
Yeah.
Oof, that made me... I mean, Nancy doesn't really comment on that aspect of it, but more, that's when Nancy says, you got cut your shit.
Yeah.
You are like, so fucking full of yourself right
like
now.
Like, Hank is your best friend. Like, why are you even doing this to him?
Right, exactly. And then even Nancy kind of says, when you were, I don't know, maybe it's a joke for the audience, but it says, when you were your crazy self, who still stood up for you? And this is when Dale kind of has a bit of a change of heart, but Hank does indeed go to the DMV, and this time he goes up to that same person that we saw earlier and says, all right, I've done up the paperwork, I'm tired of waiting.
I'm at my wit's end.
You are going to change my license right now. And then the guy says again, is that a threat? And then Hank says, if it has to be. And he's firm in his position, the security guard starts walking over, and perfect timing, Dale pops in right there.
I am Dale Gribble, American citizen, and I demand that you help my disturbed friend here.
I'm sorry, sir, but the state requires...
Listen! I've never been able to say this in my whole life, but as of 2 p.m. yesterday, I am a taxpayer, and I demand $36 worth of service.
Sir, if you...
I know the chain of command, starting with your supervisor, Franklin Thomas, all the way up to the underintendent of transportation, Edward Dibble, whose daughters, Pat and Ellie, played ladybug soccer with the daughters of the President of the United States. And I'm not afraid to make some phone calls. I'm your worst nightmare. I have a three-line phone and nothing at all to do with my time.
It finally took that for them to change Hank's license.
Yeah, it took...
Finally.
Yeah, it took, like, I am more powerful than you can imagine. And everybody starts applauding. He's like, fuck, yes, this is what we've always wanted.
Yeah.
Like, cut the bureaucratic bullshit. Like, just get to the point.
Right.
And everyone applauds. And even the security guard kind of backs off a little bit. And that's all it takes. He just changes the gender on this computer. Like, it's no problem at all.
Yeah, exactly. And it could have been done, like, a whole long time ago, you know?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Like, there's a bit more discussion about, like, the tying in with the national security. Even more talking about the gender politics in this episode. I didn't pay attention to it, but it's very complicated to mention, especially to mention offhand, like, in this kind of offhand discussion about this episode. But there's definitely a lot of discussion about the national security aspect and why it's just gotten so much more complicated just doing simple things like changing your address or that kind of thing, or even, like, that kind of thing. But so finally, Hank thanks Dale and their friends again. But Dale is still just wants to be sure. Has to ask him again. I have an important question to ask you. Hank, are you a man? And then Hank says, yes, I am a man. And then Dale's thinking, so either the government is wrong and you are a man, or the government is right. Then they shouldn't have caved so easily. That shows lack of conviction. And Hank just kind of like, yeah, I guess so. Like, I don't really care. I got my license changed. And this is kind of... Because in every sitcom... Sometimes in some sitcoms, you have, like, the continuity changes. Like, in a Netflix show, there's, like, a storyline. In this case, this is them alluding to...
Dale kind of goes back to his old ways.
Right, and these things... Oh, I've got some thinking to do. But then it actually has a nice shot of panning up from the van view, the driver's seat view of Dale, panning up to the mini flags on the Dale's dead bug, and that's when we cut the credits.
Yep.
So this was an interesting episode revisit. I was kind of worried about it because I remember putting it on the list and it's like, oh yeah, this is the episode when Dale's an annoying patriotic. I can't wait to make fun of those types of people. And they're like, oh right, there's that other aspect about it. And like I said, there's the one joke that's the most blatant joke that definitely does not hold up. I really would like to think that I think they were just trying to show Dale like as being like really. Like in this episode, Dale is very unlikable, not just in terms of his obnoxious patriotism,
but just how he treats his friends.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he does redeem himself at the end, but still, at the end of the day, he's kind of an unempathetic asshole.
No, absolutely. which I guess for those reasons, I think I would kind of say this is one, not like, I still think this is a really good episode, but I think this is my least favorite from the six we watched because of the problematic aspects there.
Yeah.
And in terms of, like, Dale's is really annoying. I forgot how annoying his behavior was. But there is a pretty funny montage of him being patriotic, or, like, the very surface-level types of patriotism with Lee Greenwood's, and I'm proud to be an American! At least I know I'm free! It's such a fucking stupid song. It's like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, that's showing, like, that saccharine type of sugary bullshit type of patriotism. Is just like, oh, there's not real patriotism. It's like, I'm so for the flag, and I don't know, like, that's all I'm for. It pisses me off so much. Sorry, I'm just gonna go on a little bit of a tangent. It pisses me off so much in Twitter profiles. It's like, there's like someone's tweeting out some horrible like transphobic shit or some anti-immigrant shit, and then on their fucking Twitter profile, it's like, I'm a husband, a father,
American, a family violence.
And it's like, oh god, I could not hate someone who has a fucking American flag on their Twitter profile. I'm done. That's it.
Well, it's more like I think for me, it's more like, okay, you say you're a patriot, but like, what kind of values do you live by, really, at the end of the day? I mean, I kind of feel like you need to sort of, like, delve a little bit deeper into that. Okay, you say you're a patriot, but for what reason?
Exactly. You know? There's, it feels like it's just, like blind leadership to...
Oh, Lord. Well, we're not going to get into that.
No, we're not getting into that. But, yeah, I think that's... This episode still was pretty funny. There were some really great moments in it. Yeah. All right, so that was Dale to the Chief. So Lorenz, in this five episode examination of King of the Hill, what are some thoughts you have about the series as a whole?
Man, you know, on this very surface, like, it is like a show about like just these people living in just this small like conservative town in the South, but at the same time, like, it's just really just deadpan in just its humor and also just, like, its satire and everything, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely a much more better... The Talking Simpsons guys mentioned this, and I think they're right about this. I think Bob Mackie said this specifically, but this show definitely has better writing than The Simpsons. Like, The Simpsons, when they're trying to hit on a target, they can do it really well in the earlier seasons.
And they're not afraid to go dark.
No, we saw a pretty good example from Pretty Pretty Dresses. But they're also not afraid to like touch on taboo subjects like the gendered politics we talked about in this episode, the anger management and the pornography, like having a whole episode, like having a really clever way of like, having an episode not be dirty, like not intentionally be like, oh, we're gonna do the pornography episode, but it's like being really clever about it in terms of like, how does it make sense in terms of characters. This is a show that knows characters very, very well.
Yeah, it's like very character driven. That's like the other aspect that I like about it, and we just sort of see that, I guess, like, time and time again, and it's not only just, like, the individual characters themselves, but, like, their, like, relationship to, like, other characters. Like, case in point, for two episodes, Hank versus Dale.
Yes.
More than anything, man.
Yeah, and, yeah, this episode didn't really depict Dale as a sympathetic character. There was some of that in the Texas Skill Saw Massacre, even when I listened to that episode. It's the previous one. But there's definitely some interesting history there. Like, there's even episodes where Hank butts heads with Bill. Hank rarely butts heads with Boomhauer. There's one episode which they had Brad Pitt play Boomhauer's brother. And it has that great scene where they're both, like, in Speedos beating the shit out of each other in the alley. That episode's a great episode. Yeah, I mean, again,
God dang it, there's
yeah, you can barely understand what they're saying. But so what do you think? What do you think about the rumored reboot? Do you think they should bring back the show for one more season?
I don't know. I mean, on one hand, it would be really interesting to see like where the characters will be, like where they are like in today's time versus like where they were back then. But at the same time, I mean, are they gonna be bringing back like all the original voice actors? And also think about this. Bobby Hill's voice was like Pamela Adlon.
Yeah.
So like, are they gonna, and Bobby Hill's probably gonna be like at least like well into high school or college. His voice is going to change.
That's true.
So are they gonna be bringing in a different voice actor, and how are they gonna pull it off in a way that like you could definitely still tell that, oh yeah, it's still Bobby, you know, like, want to be, like, prop comic, like, wants to, like, make other people laugh, like, that kind of good-natured, or are they gonna have him be, like, I guess, like, more of, like, a jaded teenager, you know?
Yeah, and there are some episodes in the later seasons where there's an episode where he is kind of acting like a shitty, well, not really like a shitty teenager, just like a shitty son. I don't remember that episode 100%, but it would be interesting to see, like, because I think they kind of thought that, well, we did everything that we could do in the original season, so it would be interesting to see, like, a time jump. And exactly, like, would they keep the same voice actors? And would it be... What would the tone be like? Would it still be kind of that satirical kind of nature about it? I wonder what it would look like. Would it be more serialized? Would it be, like, a Netflix thing? Would it be a Fox thing? there's a lot of possibilities to it, and I
also like what kind of commentary are they gonna be making about like today versus what they did back then.
There was
an
interesting Reddit thread a while ago, like, would Hank have voted for Trump? I think no. No, because he's born in New York already. That's something against Trump, but
yeah,
also
but
just
Hank
his...
also hates New York. Remember?
No, I mean that's my point. Like that would be enough of a reason for him not to vote for Trump, but also just some of the policies that like, the more pig-headedness of the there's a lot of Trump-esque kind of characters in King of the Hill that Hank has to deal with from time to time.
Yeah,
I would never have imagined him voting for Trump, and I wonder if that's also something, if they do bring back the show, it hasn't been announced yet, it's more like they're in the talks of it, if that is something they'll talk about or they'll hint at. It would be interesting to see that.
A little bit. And also, like, keep in mind, this is freaking Texas.
Also, that's also...
It's very much a red state.
That's very true.
So, what is that, like, kind of climate like, you know, like, there? Versus, like, how it is, like, out here. Like, we're out in California, and it's, like, pretty liberal out here.
That's
Let's
true. That's very
it.
True. Absolutely.
So, it would be interesting just to see, like, that perspective, you know?
Yeah, but it's also worth mentioning that even though a lot of the writers did come from Texas, the show was produced in L.A., so there's a little bit of, like, sometimes that there's episodes that are very L.A.-centric. Although there is a lot of like shit tossed at LA, not that we don't deserve it. We are very elitist, so we do deserve some of that too. But yeah, it would be interesting to see that perspective. And Lorenzo, I can tell you, the voice actors are interested, or they did a live reading of Husky Bobby for I think it was a San Francisco Sketchfest, and all of the living voice actors, unfortunately, Brittany Murphy has passed.
She
passed in, I think this.
Yeah, who's gonna be doing Luann also?
That's,
like,
that's another. That'll be interesting. I guess they'll have to figure out how they're gonna work around that. Very sad that she had to pass away. And then Tom Petty, who played Lucky in the later seasons, also passed away. And they were married. Well, the characters were married, not Brittany Murphy and Tom Petty. But so that's another. Maybe it'll just be they just won't even acknowledge them as they're on vacation, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting. I mean. After all, they are bringing back, like, franchises, like, all over the place. Like from Star Wars to all the way to frickin' Bill and Ted.
I think that movie is on hold right now. Or
no, like, they confirmed Bill and Ted 3. Like, Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter, like, are signed. It's official at this point.
Okay, well, yeah. That would be interesting to see, but... We're running a little long, so let's wrap up our thoughts real quick. But no, this show definitely holds up way better than I ever imagined. Like, I've always loved this show.
Oh, yeah.
But...
I feel like it's actually better, like, looking at it now versus, like, when we did back then. Because, like I mentioned before, like, this show was just kind of, like, a way for me to hold myself over before, like, I look forward to my other shows. Like, Malcolm in the Middle, for instance.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
this show, like, it definitely not only holds up to this day, but you appreciate it more.
Exactly. Also, just because, not even in terms of the adult humor, but in terms of the relationships between the characters, the very painful life shit that happens with those characters. It's very powerful in terms of the building up of the characters and making them very relatable and empathetic to their situations and everything.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely
what makes it a really strong show. Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us on this month of King of the Hill. I am so sorry I made you wait this long for it. I mention in my updates all the time that shit happens, and I'm just trying to figure things out.
Better late than never, man.
Better late than never. It's finally out now. And thank you for listening. Thank you for following us on this journey. We don't know what the next month of will be. I've got a couple of ideas. We've kind of hinted at maybe wanting to do a Bobby-centric month of King of the Hill, bringing that back. But that might be...
I'm definitely down for that.
That might be for a little while, but we'll see. But again, thanks for listening, everybody. And Lorenz, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely, man. Pleasure.
Awesome. All right. Well, take care, everybody. And, oh, gosh. What do they say in Texas? Like, how do they greet people in Texas? Or, like,
farewell to people? I have no freaking idea.
Y'all have a good day now, you hear?
Y'all have a good day now, you hear?
There we go.
Perfect.